started and we looked at what this battle is like for the Christian. And if you have missed any of those sermons, you can find them online and catch up if you'd like. Today I want to look more closely at how we fight these three enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh, with the hope that all of us will more joyfully and purposefully engage in spiritual warfare. Because as we will see, taking spiritual warfare seriously and engaging in earnest is all about worshiping and enjoying the Lord more fully, which is what all genuine worshipers want to be doing. So hopefully these sermons, God's word is blessing us, moving us in that direction. So let's pray for ourselves that the Lord will do this to us. So Father, this is our desire that we would stick with your word, we would live out your word, that we would follow your word because that's following you. Lord, open our eyes, give us humble hearts to hear. Connect your truths that we've already known, strengthen them, connect them to new truths that we're being exposed to, clean us out of things that are not found in your word, so that we are people of your word. So bless us in that way, Lord. Glorify yourself in our midst as we open up your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in Scripture that the devil is very real. He's not some symbol of evil. He is the father of evil. And we don't want to pay too much attention to him, where we start blaming him for all the sin being done when I'm actually responsible for my own sin. But we also don't want to ignore him because he is a very real enemy set on destroying God's glory using very effective methods and schemes, which Ephesians 6 verse 11 says we need to be aware of. And one of his methods is possessing people. But even in the Bible, that seems to happen very rarely, evidenced by how few possessions are mentioned compared to the amount of times the world's wisdom and the flesh is mentioned. You know, even thinking about the physical things, if something physical has happened at the hand of the devil, it's not so much about the physical thing that's happened, it's about how those involved and others, what they will think about God. The devil wants God's glory, and he wants God's glory to be destroyed. So if he is doing something, it's not so much about the doing. He wants people to look at that and then to look at God and go, oh, see, he's nothing. The devil wants our faith to be destroyed, for us to get distracted and look away from him. So for us to just look around and try to find physical manifestations of the devil, we are then probably getting ourselves a little bit more susceptible to his other plans, his other method, his more popular method that he uses more often, which is getting us to think differently, to think certain thoughts against the Lord. That is his most used method. He creates a set of beliefs and thinking, and those that belong to him in every culture around the world hear those beliefs and that thinking. They embrace them. They live them. Their flesh loves them. And they promote that living and that thinking and believing. They are enslaved to them, locked up in a mental stronghold. And then the Christian hears and sees that living, thinking, and believing that's being promoted. Our flesh is attracted to that sin. And if we embrace them, then we get locked into these mental strongholds of sin. That's the devil's most popular, effective, most used method. Not the coming and possessing someone or physically doing something in a situation. He wants this result for us to be against the Lord. So an example is the belief and the thinking that each person is their own God and should live for themselves. It's the belief and thinking that I can and I should do whatever I want. So when that's embraced, it's lived out in many ways, like hoarding your money, like deciding for yourself what is true and what is false, deciding what gender you will be, or reducing the Bible to ethics that you try to follow, that kind of a thing. His evil ideas become systems of thinking, worldviews that oppose God and lead to sin. Understanding that those three enemies work together in that kind of a way helps us to see how big and how wide and how far-reaching the devil's schemes are. His way of thinking is everywhere. Temptation to sin is everywhere because our flesh is always with us, remembering the world's message and coming up with ways to implement them in our lives. We don't have to be demon-possessed to be used and controlled by the devil. If he gets us thinking one of his ways that the world promotes, we become worldly and he's got us. Not fully like demon possession, but in a mental stronghold of his design. And as worshipers of the only God, we don't want to be locked into the devil's way of thinking and believing and living. We want to do all for the glory of God. So spiritual warfare is fighting all three enemies. Fighting one is very closely related to fighting the others, but let's try to look at them separately. So how do we fight our enemy, the devil? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul talks about not being outwitted by Satan, not ignorant of his designs. So we are to be aware of his tactics, recognize them, recognize his schemes, his traps, his tricks, so that we don't fall for them. And he has clever and hurtful schemes, some which we'll look at in the next couple of weeks. But today, just to mention a few of the workings of the devil, I just want to mention a few of them. So one is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 4. He blinds people to the truth of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things, one of the schemes, one of the ends that the devil goes for. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 5. He messes around with a married couple's sexuality. Sexuality is for a husband and wife who are in a covenant. The devil's method is to mess with that sexuality to get the husband and wife looking away from God's way of things and for the devil's way of things, buying into the world's way of thinking. Part of his scheme. Luke 22, he tries to destroy our faith in God through trials. Some kind of trial comes up, and he wants us to think against the Lord, think thoughts and think systems that are opposed to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he has false teachers teaching false gospels inside the church. Inside the church. And we have that throughout the world. Doesn't matter where you go. 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 3, he gets individuals to cause factions and disunity in the church. Gossiping, getting people, separating people from each other. Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so. That's what he does. Some of his methods, some of his schemes, some of his tricks to entrap us in his way of thinking, in his system of thinking, in that stronghold. These are just some of his methods and tactics to get us to become more and more opposed to God's truth. And we need to understand them so that we can recognize when they're happening, recognize his lies, his counterfeit work. Our fight with the devil consists of resisting him and submitting to God. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus gave us a great example of this, of recognizing the devil's schemes and then resisting him and submitting to the Lord. In his temptation encounter in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. There, Jesus hung on to, was guided and responded to the devil with God's word. When temptation came, an idea, a way of thinking, believing that was opposed to God, Jesus resisted the idea, the devil, and submitted to the truth of God's word, submitted to God. When the devil responded to Jesus by quoting God's word, Jesus knew God's word so well that he knew when God's word was being isolated from the rest of God's word and then being misused, which was what the devil was doing. He was trying to trick Jesus with God's word. But Jesus resisted the devil by clinging to God's word. He resisted the devil, and he could because he knew God's word and hung on to God's promises. It was a battle for truth. A battle for truth. To resist the devil, we've got to know God's word. Submit to God's word. And in that, knowing and submitting to God's word, we'll be able to recognize the devil's schemes, and we will recognize the lying systems of thinking and believing that he brings. If we look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, there we find after Jesus explained to his disciples that he would be going to Jerusalem, he'd be going to the cross, being beaten and killed, Peter took him aside and said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And what did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." Well, what was that all about? Peter wasn't Satan, but Peter spoke the pleasing words of Satan. "Don't go to the cross, Jesus. That was not the things of God, but they were the things of man." God's word wasn't promoted by Peter, but rather thoughts and beliefs that were anti-God's plan of redemption. And Jesus recognized Peter's words as the things of man because Jesus knew what the things of God were. Knowing the things of God for us is knowing God's word. And in knowing God's word, we can recognize and stay away from demonic mental strongholds by resisting the devil's ways of thinking and behaving and living. Like in James chapter 4, verse 7, and 1 Peter 5, verse 7 to 10 tells us again to resist the devil by being firm in your faith. Why firm in your faith? Because the devil wants to destroy our faith in the Lord. He wants to trash the glory of the Lord by trashing your faith in him. But our response is to be hanging on to the truth revealed by the Lord. God has not lost control. I am safe with him. He guards me. We will suffer, but then God will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us, like it says in verse 10. Whatever happens, we are to resist the devil by hanging on to our faith in the Lord, our faith which is formed and based on the Bible. We have to be able to recognize the devil's methods, and the way to do that is by knowing God's word. Fighting the devil, resisting the devil is not about talking to him. I'm often reminded of the scene in Jude, verse 9, where the archangel Michael wouldn't even accuse, wouldn't even get into his own personal talking and rebuking of the devil. He just left it at, "The Lord rebuke you." He didn't get into, "I rebuke you, I rebuke you, I rebuke you," and all of that. No, "The Lord rebuke you." Fighting the devil is being empowered by the Holy Spirit, hanging on to God's word, recognizing the devil's lies, standing firm in our faith, and obeying God's word. Obedience to God through his word is spiritual warfare, which is fighting the devil by resisting him. Well, how do we How do we fight the devil if someone that we love is entrapped in those strongholds that he loves to create? Well, that's what we're going to look at in a couple of Sundays, for spiritual warfare and evangelism. But this is how we fight the devil in our lives: obedience to God through his word, recognizing his lies. Number two, how do we fight our enemy, the world? The worldview, the way of thinking, the system of believing that's in every town, city, school, club, government, all over social media, all over the TV, and all over the movies, promoting what is opposed to God. How do we fight the enemy, the world, which is a pawn in the hands of the devil? If we don't fight it, we will passively adopt what the world treasures and values, setting up mental strongholds. And worse, James 4, verse 4, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of the devil. So if we're not, if we're passive about the world and not fighting the world's message that is coming to us, and we adopt the world's message and go along with the world, we become enemies of the Lord. Friendship with the world is enemy with the Lord. So we can't be passive. We can't be lazy about our attitude towards the world. That's the way of God's enemies, not his children. So how do we do spiritual warfare with the world? Philippians 2, verse 15, which we looked at two Sundays ago, says something that still applies today. And that is, this is a crooked and twisted generation among whom you, talking to Christians, shine as lights in the world. So born again, worshipers of God, we are not to be like the world, but shine for Jesus in this world. In the world, but not of the world, shining for Jesus. Fighting the enemy, the world, is going the opposite direction of the world, that the world is going, and shining for the Lord. It's about being all about the Lord. It's taking every thought captive to obey Christ, obedience to Christ. This is worshiping the Lord. The world is promoting this while we go this way to the Bible. When the Holy Spirit opened our eyes to the truth of the life, death, and resurrection of God the Son, Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, points out that he began a work of making us more like Jesus. Sanctification, making us Christ-like. And we are to engage in this sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are not to be swept along by the world's thinking. We are not to be conformed to the world, which results in strongholds. We are to renew our minds and be transformed into being more like Christ and be more and more in worship of the Lord. A mind being renewed is the opposite of being conformed to the world. A renewed mind is able to test whatever is said and promoted around us to see if it's God's goodwill. A renewed mind is a must for a genuine worshiper of the Lord, because as Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit and his Bible to change our thinking, our ways and mindsets and values, so that we can know God's thoughts and God's ways and recognize and stay away from the world's thoughts and the ways of the world that are opposed to God. That's spiritual warfare. James 3, verse 13 to 18 talks about the wisdom of the world, which brings jealousy and selfish ambition. And where those two things are, there is disorder and every vile practice. That's what the world promotes and produces. And so James 3, verse 15 calls that wisdom demonic. How will we recognize any of the devil's ways, wisdom which is demonic, coming to us, coming at us from the world. How will we recognize any of that? By knowing the Word of God, His Holy Spirit in us, revealing God's Word to us as we read, and bringing it back to our minds, and changing our desires, giving us wisdom to recognize lies, giving us wisdom to apply God's Word in the moment, renewing our minds with God's Word so that we embrace God's thoughts and God's ways, so that we destroy strongholds of thinking and believing, so we take every thought captive to obey Christ, so that we obey the Lord. Sanctification, growing more and more Christ-like, that's how we fight the enemy, the world. Number three, how do we fight the enemy, the flesh? Remember, the devil and the world are external, and the flesh is in us. The flesh refers to that part of us that is weak and is attracted to and embraces sin. And Romans 8, verse 5 says that those living according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh, because as Jesus said in John 8, verse 34, they are slaves to sin, so they are set on the flesh. Everyone has the flesh, this sinful nature. It came about when Adam and Eve sinned. Sin entered the world, and everyone after them was born with a sinful nature. That's what Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3 says. We were by nature children of wrath. And because of the flesh, we can't say, the devil made me do it. Oh, why'd you do that sin, Edgar? Ah, the devil made me do it. I didn't do it. The devil, it was his fault. We can't say that because, as James 1, verse 14 to 15 says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Our flesh desires what the devil is offering through the world. It's our flesh that allows Satan and the world to operate in our lives. And even though the Lord saved us and freed us from slavery to sin, the flesh, the sinful nature, continues with us until we die. Paul in Romans chapter 7 gets into this by saying he doesn't do the things he wants to do, but does the things he doesn't want to do, indicating that the flesh is still alive in him. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's about the Holy Spirit making us more like Jesus, and he will bring it to completion the day we come face to face with Jesus, suggesting that we are not free from our flesh till our death or Christ's return. So it seems to me from Scripture that our flesh is to receive the most attention in this battle of truth in spiritual warfare. The devil and the world are external. We're not going to do anything about them. The Lord is going to take care of that. But my flesh is always with me, and that's how I allow sin and strongholds to operate in me. My flesh is how the devil and the world get me. So how do we fight the flesh? There are three ways, and they have to do with how to view ourselves, fighting the urge to sin, and living for the Lord. These are nothing magical to these things or sensational to the eye, but they are enabled by the Holy Spirit, honoring to the Lord and faithful to God's word. So the first one, how to view yourself. If you have repented and put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for your righteousness, you are a new creation in Christ, and you need to listen to this. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We are to know something here. know and believe and accept as reality. Take this as your identity. And here it is, Christian. Your old sin-loving, sin-enslaved self is dead. Dead. You are a new creation in Christ. You are not the same old sinner. When you sin, it's not the same old you doing it. Now, you repent of this sin, you have remorse, and that sin is already forgiven in Christ. It's not business as usual. Know this. Know this. See yourself this way. Know also that what Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, you must consider yourself, okay? You must. This isn't an idea. Here, I have an idea for you. Try this. No. You must consider yourself, okay, dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourself. Count yourself. See yourself. Identify yourself as one who is dead to sin. Sin isn't ruling in your life anymore. It is not your master. You are alive in Christ. Christ is your master. And you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to obey and worship and enjoy the Lord. Know this. Know this. That's who you are. When the world comes with its temptation saying, here, come indulge in some of this stuff, you now say, no, I won't, because I belong to the Lord. I don't belong to you and your way of doing things. I belong to the Lord. Know that you are new and that you belong to Christ. That's the first one. The second one, fight the urge to sin. Kill the flesh. Deny the flesh. Starve the flesh. Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which amounts to idolatry. Put to death the worldly stuff, the desires of the flesh. Make sin dead. Wipe it out. Utterly slay it. Eliminate the old way of living. Declare war on sin. Consider sin and its way of life an enemy. Have nothing to do with it. Strip that way of living off of you like you take off clothes and throw them on the floor. Get rid of it. This is hardcore, determined with urgency, seeking out and doing away with the earthly, fleshly, sinful things in you. Romans 13, verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You belong to the Lord. Don't accommodate sin. Don't make excuses for sin. Don't set yourself up to sin. You know what will take you down. Stay away from it. Every time I walk by the bakery, I smell the baking, and I can't help but go in and have a couple of donuts. Well, come on. Stay away from the bakery. I'm simplifying it there, but you get the point. Galatians 4, verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's not the same old. You have freedom. Now live in it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. Flee from those sinful passions the world stirs up in you. Run away. Set boundaries. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I discipline my body and keep it under control. In Romans 6, verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. We believe what God says in his holy word, that we are not slaves to sin anymore. We are dead to sin, so don't indulge in sin. You know, we can be so determined and do all kinds of things. We set our minds to all kinds of things and we accomplish those things. Yet things to kill our flesh, we often play the victim card and give up. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Don't go that way. you are enabled by the Holy Spirit to starve your flesh. Fight the urge. Wage war on your flesh by pursuing righteousness, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means obeying him, knowing what he says and obeying him and relying on him to strengthen you to go his direction and not go the direction of sin. Get serious about this. Get serious about your flesh and how it allows the devil, to operate in your life. Take this seriously. Live for the Lord. Number three is live for the Lord. Oh, thanks, Glenn. Now I got two of them up here. This is great. No problem. You look dry. All right, let's see if I can wetten up a little bit here. Number three, in putting the waging war against the flesh, live for the Lord. So he said, fight the urge to sin, live for the Lord. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 17 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You want to fight the flesh? Walk by the Spirit. Walk in obedience to the Lord. Seek the Lord's wisdom. Rely on his strength. Rely on his direction. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 tell us to stand firm in our freedom from sin. Keep in step with the Spirit. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 12 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Fix your mind on Christ, not on worldliness. Well, how do we do this? Well, Psalm 119 is an amazing chapter about how wonderful God's word is. And verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is about being fixed on God's word, a mind renewed by God's word, living our lives as a sacrifice of worship to our Master, our Lord, our God, coming from a heart that cherishes God's truth. You are a new creation. See yourself realistically, in reality, which is in Christ, and fight the urge to sin by living your life as a gift to God. Is that hard? Of course it's hard. Life is hard. Cross the board. Prosperity theology is wrong. Life isn't easy, and God didn't come to make you rich and healthy. He didn't. He came to save us from the punishment that we deserve because of our sin. And we belong to him, and we're going to live in this hard life here on earth, and we're going to have temptations. But we need to say no to ourselves and yes to the Lord. That's going to be painful. And that's something that the world does not say we should do. The world says, do whatever you want. Whatever feels good, go and do it. If it's too hard and it doesn't feel good, it must be wrong. No. We go to the Bible, we listen to what the Lord tells us, and guess what? It seems to all be hard, but it's all good and leads to our growth in the Lord and our sanctification and our lives lived in worship of him and us bringing glory and praise to the name of the Lord. And that's what we want. Church, we fight against the enemy, the devil, the world, and our flesh. They're so related, as you've seen. But we do this by the power of the Holy Spirit, not on our own power. So how can we lose? We can't lose. We can't. We belong to the Lord. And we have the weapon of God's word. And by obeying God's word, by hanging on to God's truth about our salvation, our righteousness, his truth, his gospel, all those weapons that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, by living in worship of God, that is how we fight. With obedience and worship of God, enabled and fed and directed and transformed by God and his word. This is a moment by moment, every single day battle. It's a battle for truth. The devil's bringing his lies into every situation. But will we be firm in God's truth? The victory is ours. The enemies have been defeated by Jesus on the cross, and the consummation of all that he did will be revealed at his second coming. In the meantime, church, engage passionately in spiritual warfare by worshiping and obeying our Heavenly Father according to who he says he is in his revealed word, according to how he says in his word. Do that. Battle those enemies for the glory of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to do this. We want to grow more Christ-like. We want to be people who are not so attracted to the sin that the world is promoting, that the devil is fueling to the world. We don't want to be attracted to that. We want to live here in this world being all about you, being focused on you, raising your name high, having our minds renewed and lined up with your will and your thoughts, your ways. Lord, that is what we do want. That's what we want, Lord. Please help us in whatever way we need to be helped to shift gears or to just to be made new or to have something shaved off of us, that we would pursue your word, to relish in your word, to listen to your word, and then go out and live for you. Thank you, Lord, that you are always, always with us, that you are the sovereign Lord over everything. Nothing is as strong as you. No one's got your power. Help us to be your children, living for you in victory, not following along the cravings of our flesh, following the world, following the devil. Help us, Father, not to be that way. In the moments, Lord, in the moments, please bring your truth to mind. In those moments, help us to be strong to say no to sin, to temptation, and yes to you. Help us, Father. We are weak and we need you desperately. So we trust in you to glorify yourself in us in these ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you and ask. Amen. Amen.